Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Friday at long last, October 25th, 2019. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy Friday.
It is indeed. Also with me today, having a happy Friday, I hope, is Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
You got me all worked up about the Lord of the Rings movies. Not having a happy Friday, because now I'm all like blood pressure's all like high and like Farmer's dancing in my eyes, because it's whatever. Let's get on with this. I'm kidding. It's good to be here, Kelly. Like, thanks for having us.
He's not wrong, though. We did sort of wind up about the Lord of the Rings movies completely accidentally for a little while before the show started. But yes, that's totally a thing that happened. We look forward to your letters. The first thing I want to talk about today is an interesting anniversary this week. If you had an original iteration iPod, it turned 18 this week. So now it can buy cigarettes and get shipped to Vietnam. Isn't that how that works, Brian?
I believe that is exactly how it works. Ask your grandparents, Andrew,
about
more in the draft. It was a thing. It was a thing. Fun fact, the draft stopped being a thing when I was roughly draft age.
Hey.
Ooh.
That's cutting it close.
Yeah, I suppose. what are we are we talking about this? What are we doing?
Yeah. October 23rd, 2001. Apple introduced iPod, not the iPod, just iPod, and their press release calls it a breakthrough MP3 music player that packs up to 1,000 CD quality songs into an ultra-portable 6.5-ounce design that fits in your pocket. And we know it fits in your pocket because when he was on stage showing it off and making the product announcement, Steve Jobs literally pulled one out of his pocket and said...
That he'd been keeping there the whole time.
Yes, and said... It totally fits in your pocket and put it back in his pocket. It was pretty great.
The size of a deck of cards.
Yes. Let's see. And it says, you can put an entire CD on an iPod in under 10 seconds because it uses the magic of FireWire. Again, Andrew, ask your grandparents. it will play up to 10 hours of continuous music on its rechargeable battery. And the high-capacity 5-gigabyte hard drive doubles as a portable FireWire hard drive for storing things. So if you have files on your computer, you want to carry them around conveniently, this could be a good way to do that.
All true.
It was announced in October. It was available November of 2001. And the sticker price was $399. And Brian. Andrew, I'm pretty sure you didn't have one. Brian, did you have an original issue iPod?
I did. despite writing a piece that Apple should have waited until they could do 10 gigs. Because my music collection wouldn't fit on a 5 gig.
Tech writer turns into a total tech writer, is what you're telling me.
It is not one of my most proud articles that I look back on largely because I was wrong. What Apple did with that 5 gig drive, and this was the first time we'd seen a 1.8-inch 5 gig. Actually, it's the first time that most of us had ever heard of anything like a 1.8-inch hard drive.
Yeah.
And it was a brand new device. Apple basically locked up the entire early availability from Hitachi, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it was Hitachi that was doing it. Although it might have been it might have been the hard drive. This is good. Like, I'm trying to dredge this up out of memory, but Hitachi may have bought IBM's hard drive business.
Yeah, I think so. It was one way or the other way, and there's still Hitachi hard drives and not IBM hard drives, so I think that's the direction that it went.
But I believe it was an Hitachi hard drive, and it was the first time we'd ever seen anything like this, because at the time, what was the device? What was the big device?
It was the Creative, the Rio?
Yeah. No. Pre-real creatives.
The Creative Nomad.
Nomad. Which was a great name.
That's what I had. And it had a spot for an SD card, and I could put 128 megabytes of music in my pocket. It was mind-blowing.
But this thing was huge, and it had the laptop size hard drive.
Oh, that one did. Yeah, I had a little one that just had a card. It was like the Nomad something else.
The pre
it was still bigger than an iPod. Yeah,
it was way bigger than an iPod. Yeah, and it had, like I said, it had the laptop size hard drive in it, and it was like USB. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it would take like really 1,002 years to actually load it up with anything.
Yes.
And anyway, so yeah, I complained about it only being 5 gigs, saying that Apple should have waited until they could do 10 gigs because I was really projecting my needs on to get my music collection needs onto the rest of the world. And boy, howdy did our readers just let me have it on that one. And they were right to do so because I was just wrong.
Yeah.
Good times.
I did not have the original from 2001. I waited. I did get a shuffle when it was the stick of gum sized, the pack of gum sized shuffle, the white one with the little the click wheel on the front, very small. I had one of those, and that was pretty great because that was a pretty massive upgrade for my music listening needs to the entire gigabyte. I think it was a gigabyte. Because it was meant to be sort of a small, lightweight device. And it was cool because it had the USB built in right into the end. It was like a flash drive, basically. And you just poked it in the side of your computer and put all your music on it. The iPod Actual that I purchased was the 5th gen, the 5.5 gen, which was the iPod Video. It came with a nicer screen and a little bit faster, a nicer screen than the 5th generation had. And a little bit more capacity. So it came in an 80 gigabyte flavor. And I was holding out for the 80 gigabyte iPod because then I could back up my entire hard drive to it. And most of what was on my hard drive of my PowerBook G4 was music. So it just made sense. I could carry around an entire copy of my hard drive. And since most of it was music I wanted to listen to anyway, then I had lots of room for it. And it was fantastic. And I bought that. That came out in September of 2006. So it was either September or October of 2006 that I pulled the trigger on that one. It also plays games. And I played far more than my share and probably Brian's share of Peggle on that device.
I played Peggle.
I've played so much Peggle. And I still have it, actually. It's here on my desk. I held it up and showed them earlier, which doesn't make for great podcasting, so I'm not going to do that here. But I still have it. It fits in my hand. It's a really nice size. And I still use it. I bring it in the house occasionally and put more music on it and then take it back out. And mostly it goes in the car and plugs into the USB in the console. And I just a lot of times I will just listen to music that way if I'm not listening to something streaming.
You apparently had not gotten the Steve Jobs memo that it was about the music, stupid.
you missed that, apparently. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did play a lot of games.
I was there for that particular one. I was not at the original iPod event. And, you know, it's really interesting watching it. Who watched the event before we started recording?
I did. Andrew? At least a portion of it. I don't know. Andrew, did you see it?
Of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
So one of the interesting things to me was like how much different the dynamic is because they're like in a presentation room.
Mm-hmm.
There's like, you know, 100, 150, maybe 200, and I doubt 200 people there because this is when Apple was still beleaguered and the mainstream press wasn't paying any attention to Apple whatsoever.
Yeah.
And so it was a much different dynamic than being up on one of the big auditorium stages. Like Steve Jobs is more like a college professor lecturing.
He's very casual.
Than he is when he's doing the big, huge, massive productions, and yet he's still brilliant at it. He's still like there's a lot less adulation coming from the audience. There's a lot less applause.
Oh, for sure.
Like, you know, at every little thing, like, you know, and you can even charge it over FireWire. Oh my goodness gracious, that's amazing. You know, there was none of that. but the you know, he clearly had the room enthralled, and it's that his speaking abilities were not just from a big stage, that you know, he can own any room that he was in.
Yeah. And but it's also interesting to see his approach, because it doesn't feel like he's presenting to the auditoriums that we normally saw during the streaming events, you know, like the iPhone events, you know, like the Macworld presentations and those sorts of things going forward. We didn't see, you know, we saw what it looked like when he presented to a huge room of people. And this is a very different presentation. Like, it's still great, but you can tell, like, he's not presenting to hundreds of people. It's like 100 people.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And LOL at the journo who had his point and click, point and shoot camera held up in front of him videoing it. Yes. You know, there were lots of things that, like, Steve announcing or pointing out, really, because I think we knew this about FireWire already, but pointing out that you don't need a separate charging cable because you could charge it over FireWire, the same cable you're using to transfer data back and forth. And we take that that's utterly for granted at mm-hmm. this point, right? But at the time, that was actually a really big deal. And the speed of FireWire, which is a lot slower than USB 3, was a really big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it is interesting how much of what Steve Jobs was showing us as new and innovative has become the de facto standard because of Apple, starting with this presentation. Like, there is a whole lot of things about the way we live with our devices that changed in the wake of this very presentation. Yet at this presentation, they're being presented as new and innovative things. And from a contextual standpoint, I think that's really interesting.
Well, and it is interesting because I remember at the time seeing video of the presentation and seeing the iPod in person and having conversations with people who were interested in getting one or people who had one, and how mind blowing some of that stuff was like, wait, this has a whole hard drive in it? Like, you know, we'd never seen naked laptop drives like you were talking about before. You know, solid state wasn't a thing. Like, I can hear mine spin. Like, when I turn it on and I go searching for music, I can hear it spin up.
Still using that family of Hitachi drives.
Yeah.
The 1.8 inch hard drive. It wasn't an SSD. It was a hard drive.
Yeah. So I can hear it spin. I'm currently debating whether or not I'm going to upgrade it to the SSD, because it seems like that would be a fun thing to do. And I would get a lot more speed and a lot more performance out of it. You know, like you said, like, not having to have two cables, one for the data and one for the charging. Like,
which I think the Nomad did.
Yeah, it was two cables. Mine took two cables. Actually, no. Mine took batteries. Mine didn't even recharge. I just had to put new AA's in it when it was dead.
Oh, right.
So there was no charging cable for mine.
Right.
But it did take, I want to say, mini USB. I can't remember. I don't even think I have it anymore. There was a cable, or you could take out the SD card and copy new stuff to the SD card, and then put that back in and let it play. And I just remember being blown away that I could carry around 2 hours worth of music in my pocket. That was really exciting. And that was just before, the iPod. And then, not too long after the iPod was released, we got the iTunes Store. So there was always iTunes to manage your iPod. But in fact, I think it was iTunes 2, like 2.0, that you had to download in order to be able to copy music to an iPod. And then after that, we got the iTunes Store, where you could buy music that you could put on your iPod.
I'm really curious as to Andrew, who, you know, essentially grew up with the stuff, like what was your exposure to this stuff, and what was your introduction into this world of, you know, devices?
Well, I didn't have an iPod back then, but
One of my sisters did also have that iPod video, and that was probably my first Apple device that I saw in person, and I thought it was really cool. She would let me use it once in a while.
Really?
But my first iPod wasn't the iPod Touch 5th Gen.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Touch, okay.
The iPod Touch was your first iPod, okay. So did all your friends, like, have iPods? Was that, like, a status symbol in school?
Yeah, a couple of them did have, I don't remember what it was called. I think the iPod Mini.
Sure.
And those were pretty cool,
or the
too,
Nano.
Just because, something like that, yeah, maybe the Nano. Just because they got just smaller and smaller, I thought that was pretty neat.
Right. All right, that's interesting.
Yeah. And, like, I know if I wanted to, I could hook mine up with FireWire. I remember there being a wall charger, which was sort of interesting because it used the same cable, which was another new thing. Having a wall, like something that plugged into the wall that had a cable that was just USB kind of on the other end, so you could plug it into your computer or you could plug it into the wall. That was the first time I'd ever seen a cable that did that. And just to talk about the iPod for a moment, it did come in a few different editions. There was the U2 edition, I remember, that came out. There was also there was a Harry Potter one, and I think at the time all the books weren't out, so you could get it with like the Hogwarts crest engraved on the back, and it either had like 5 or 6 Harry Potter books preloaded on it when you bought it. I remember that one. And the U2 one, I remember there being a couple of different iterations that you could sort of get that were special edition kinds of things. I think, I want to say it came with the album or it came with all of U2's music. I don't remember. I didn't buy that
one. I think there was one that did that, yeah.
Yeah, but there was one. And so, yeah, those were interesting. And the one I have, the fifth gen, the iPod video, was, I think, the last one that was plastic on the front, like the white plastic, because I think the sixth gen was when it became the iPod Classic, and then it got the metal front with the click wheel, and you could get the black one or the silver one. I think maybe there were other colors later. And I remember those, and they started at 80 gig and ended up at like 160 gigabytes or something on those.
The click wheel went away pretty quickly and was replaced by essentially the touchpad.
Okay. Maybe that's the touchpad thing is what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah. And I really liked the click wheel, and it was interesting watching Steve, like, do you hear that click?
Yes.
Cause you could feel it.
Yes.
They were doing some early haptic feedback with that physical wheel. But of course that was a friction point for, it was something that could break. It was a mechanical thing that could break.
It was actually it was like a piece of plastic on it that spun around in a circle. And what I'm thinking of is the touch wheel. So with that mine does all of that. So you run your finger around it and it just figures out that that's what you're doing and it scrolls down accordingly. It's a pretty great device. It was one of the things that people point to as, you know, part of Apple's comeback. But like when it was first announced, like you were saying, Brian, like it wasn't like the world as a whole really cared all that much. So,
there was a lot. There was making fun of the name. I remember being a little bit kind of on the name too. I hope I didn't make a public stand on that. I'm not going to rule that out. I've written a lot of articles over the years, but I remember there was definitely resistance to the name iPod, just like there was resistance to the name iPad. Eventually, when that came out, there were haters. There were the Apple was still beleaguered, and the Apple was still the subject of innumerous negative articles at that time. And like if you watch this presentation, Steve's really kind of like he's trying to make the point. He's pitching the case or pitching the story that Apple is like doing well and is well ahead of its competitors, and that they're doing things that no one else is doing. But he's having to sell that, because even though it's a, that's an Apple friendly press corps in there, there's probably no mainstream folks there, or very few mainstream folks there. Maybe like Stephen Levy.
Yeah.
Or David Pogue at that point was no, David Pogue was still at Macworld. But the despite the audience being friendly, Steve is like projecting, like, you know, all this, like, Apple is like well ahead of everybody else and we're doing things that no one else is doing. And I mean, in the intervening years, we've come to accept so readily that Apple is those things. You know, it's easy to forget that there was a time when not everybody knew or believed it.
Well, and not only that, but like, it certainly does not seem as though anyone in that room has had any Kool-Aid lately. And we get a little bit of that now.
Yeah, there was,
like,
there was,
there's Kool-Aid. Very little applause. Like, there's very little applause for anything.
Yeah, but I think that that is the nature of how the keynote changed.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
Apple turned, it was after this when Apple started turning these events into these major media events.
Yeah.
This was like, do you remember in this event, Steve says, "We lured you here."
Yes.
Right? Like they had to lure the press there.
Yeah, if you look under your seat, everybody has an iPod. I don't know.
Right. So this is before Apple. There was a time when the tech product announcement was not a quote unquote media event.
Yeah.
It wasn't a thing. Apple made that a thing. Steve Jobs made that a thing. Mm-hmm. And in this event, it's before he made it a thing.
Yeah, it absolutely is. But it is interesting to watch, you know, like, for Andrew, who has seen a lot of the media style events that Apple puts on, to watch this one and sort of see like there's no feverish applause. There's no, like, you know, nobody in the, like, when they do cut to the crowd, like, generally most people aren't smiling, you know, like, yeah. They're not all sitting there like, oh, this is amazing. Like, no, like, nobody's doing that. So I feel like I watched them evolve over time, but Andrew, going back and watching this one sort of out of order, how does that strike you?
Yeah, I thought it was kind of weird. It felt kind of awkward to me. Like, people were just sitting in there silently, not clapping or anything. It was like, wow, I guess that's how it was in these old events.
Yeah, you didn't do, that's not something you did. It's, I mean, like, you know, the press's job was there to be pressed, not to be impressed. Right?
Exactly. But also, like, so, it's just sort of interesting to watch, you know, the smaller room and the different, you know, like we were talking about before, like all the things that are different between this event and the ones they do now.
Yeah, and this was the beginning of it.
Yeah, and it is interesting to look back at this and see how much they change. Because, you know, a lot of times I find this occasionally with OS X, where I feel like the windows haven't changed that much. The layout hasn't changed that much. The operating system hasn't changed that much. And then I go back and I'm looking something up and I find something that has a screenshot from, you know, 4 or 5 or 10 years ago. And I think, how is that even the same operating system? Because, like, over time, I didn't really notice it. You know, it's that whole, like, boiling a frog a degree at a time, right? And so going back and watching this compared to, like, the iPhone event we had last month, you know, that sort of thing. And watching those things happen, to me, is fascinating to watch as the evolution, to watch the evolution of that. And then go back and see, like, this, you know, I know what events we're used to now, but then going back and watching this one was for me was interesting, but also like a little bit like, oh, I remember that. I remember when things were that way. And, you know, and, you know, also like the specs that he puts out, like 1,000 songs and, you know, this
How
many
about that font. What font was that?
I think it's Marker Felt.
Okay.
All it's right. Not Comic Sans.
I was thinking at first it might have been Comic Sans, but it wasn't sure. Regardless, not pretty.
No.
Not one of the fonts that became the signature of a Steve Jobs event.
No, it really isn't. I do think it's marker felt. It's not. It's more solid than chalkboard. So I think it's probably marker felt. Or like maybe handwriting, but in all caps and bold or something. Yeah, one of those, which I thought was it was interesting. So if you get a chance, you should go back and watch the video. I will make sure that we have a link to that in the show notes, and you should definitely see it because it's a lot of fun. And I think we're gonna leave it there for today. Andrew, thanks for coming by and letting us take you to ancient Apple event school.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad you were here to help us reminisce, and you know, yeah, so that we could find out what it was like if you were a young person during this time and not us. So, Brian, thanks for coming by to talk to me about the iPod.
Yep, good times. Thanks for having us.
It's still one of my favorite devices. If you still have one that you're using, I would especially like to hear from you if you have upgraded the hard drive. I'm always looking for a project where I can put some mileage on the fun set of screwdrivers. If you have one you still use, if you got rid of it in favor of something else, if you never had an iPod because you had sworn your allegiance to that massive Creative Labs MP3 player, I want to hear from you. Talk to us at observations@macobserver.com or at TMO Daily on Twitter, or you can leave comments in the show notes. Thank you both for being here today. I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I hope everyone has an awesome weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.